by the end of Saturday, it was, we need to take out the young dude. We need to take out the lefties.
Yeah. I'm having a hard time hitting 5-foot putts.
Did I see that you hit a ball so hard you broke a driver head?
That is correct. It may be the only ball I squared up all day.
So, what's your handicap?
Well, we don't have to talk about that right now.
I was a member at a private course like the last 2 years, but I've never been as like into golf. Was that a humble brag, guy?
That was such a humble brag. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Lefties Lounge podcast. Here with Mr. Krafik today. We're coming off a heater on Sunday. A lot going on in the golf world, honestly. We got this week coming up is the last week that the guys can get into the top 125 in the FedEx Cup. We had a pretty feisty WGC last week that ended up in a playoff. Nelly Korda won. The Americans just swept the men's and women's gold medals. I mean, there's just a ton going on. But before we get into it, what's going on, Mr. Krafik?
What's up? Yeah, no, a ton of golf. The Ryder Cup, I think we're starting to kind of like finally figure out who this team's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because I don't know. I've never really been fired up for the FedEx, like the first couple FedEx Cup, and then the last two, like everybody kind of knows my views on limited field events. So like, I don't know. I've always been like a little weird on the FedEx Cup playoffs in general.
Right.
Just because they're elevated points. And like, if you get hot these next 3 or 4 weeks, you could win the $15 million. And
yeah,
I mean, we saw it with Billy Horschel. I think Billy Horschel really ruined that for me that one year.
When he went crazy, he won
two events, two out of the four events, and he was the FedEx Cup champion.
Right.
And it just kind of, I think it's a little harder now, but I don't know. We'll get into that. But first, dude, we had a round
and some
things happened on Sunday. And why don't you just say how you had just an average 83. I mean, yeah, let's tell a little bit about your round and then I'll steal the show.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll get this over quick.
Yeah.
It was pretty boring. I think I actually went back and looked today. I hit four fairways, two with six irons, one with a 5-wood and one with a 3-wood, which is actually hilarious. I was trying to think of my
head. Driver. Fighting a hard pull with that driver.
Nice
boy.
Pull, but
yeah,
shot pattern consistent.
Yeah.
I couldn't fade it. I couldn't do anything with it. So no, it was fun though. but yeah, no, I didn't play great.
It was a little CMG prep that is coming up in 3 weeks as well. So I'm jacked up about all this golf coming up. We have our own stuff plus all this other stuff. So yeah, you shot, you know, your 83, had that really, I only noticed one really bad hole. What was it? You had that cold hard shank that I remember. I feel like I was just talking about that shank, like either to you or Brett.
And
you were just trying to hit a high lofty.
Yeah, I was trying to hit a flop shot, and I bladed it. I had I didn't even chunk five chips. I think I had. We were talking about the Seekman the chipping thing that we kind of introduced last podcast.
Yeah.
And I was trying that, and I don't even think that I chunked them. I just don't think that I swung hard enough. Like every one of them just came up like awfully short.
Yeah, because there was just
I bladed that one huge flop.
That one, if that didn't hit the trees,
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
That
it
you were
could have went 130 yards.
I was just gonna say you're probably gonna have like at least a wedge in, like a hard wedge in.
Yeah, for sure.
Which would have been pretty impressive.
Yeah, no, that was sick. Yeah,
but other than that, though, the thing, because I haven't played with you in a while, and the I guess the biggest thing I noticed is that you're never out of the hole. Like you weren't hitting a lot of fairways, but you're scrambling around the greens, and the putter was pretty good. So I don't know.
Yeah, putter was all right.
Yeah, you just you seem better. That's all. Like I think that's, you know.
Yeah, I don't think looking back on it, I really do not think I missed an iron swing. Like, I don't think I made like a bad iron swing, which was nice, but
which is good. But you're fighting from the rough a lot.
Right. Yeah.
It was a grind for you. You could.
It
tell.
Was a good.
You weren't feeling that great in the morning either.
it's almost like I don't even know. I think it's almost like punishment in a sense. Like, I've said it before, but I'm gonna figure the driver thing out. Like down swinging. I know every one of my good rounds has been you take the driver out of the equation. I just can't do it. So
no.
But it was good CMG. I wanted to hit driver again on some of those holes just to see kind of where I'm at.
And it's also sad too, because a couple weeks going up to CMG, you're giving the babies away.
Yeah, tomorrow's my last round, actually.
Yeah.
We're going to, I don't even know if you know this, but we're going to Fairview tomorrow.
Yeah, you asked me if I was available.
Right. Wednesday morning. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Hey, 9:59 or 9:54 if you're, want.
I do remember this though.
Thanks, John. I'm just working and I'll be doing the same thing while you're teeing off tomorrow.
Damn you straight. Jerk. Me and Nate making a nice little trip. Yeah then, nice. Then they're going away. So we'll see. Give me plenty of time to focus on driver and wedges.
Yeah, exactly. You'll have those. So just hit that simulator, son.
Yeah.
All right. So this is what happened with me.
Well, first, it was round two of your club championship too. So
yeah.
set the stage with that.
So yeah, we'll set the stage. If you listened to last week's podcast, old Jimmy Gilbert was stealing the show. Turns out Brett played with him and like, I should know him apparently.
Right.
But I still don't. Didn't get to see him Sunday. But he was, so the second place guy was in -5 and he was 14. So he was what?
Nine
ahead of the second place guy. I ended up beating him overall.
Oh, right. Cause yeah.
Yeah. So he came, he ended up coming in fifth. He was actually off to a hot start. He shot a 47, but his handicap had gone down so much that I think he would, and then the back nine, he ended up shooting like a 58. So the nerves, I think, got to him being in that position, which, I mean, no fault to him. We saw it last year
We know a
guy that did that last year, went super low the week before and then just got to him at the end. But so it was the second week of the club championship and we had Brett and Shaw with us. It was kind of just a fun round. I figured, I personally was 19 strokes back and I figured I would ask Scott if I could, get a comfy pairing, and we did, and boy, it worked out. I'll tell you that.
Right?
So I didn't start off particularly good. I think we both bogeyed the first hole, sloppy bogey, came back, hit a nice drive, hit the green 2-putt. Then I parred the second hole. Then I went, I believe, bogey again on the par three. And then I hit a beautiful, beautiful drive, or three wood, I believe.
Yeah, Scotty Scheffler back foot.
Scotty Shroppy. The Scheffler shuffle, we were calling Scheffler it. Because there was like three or four shots that I was dealing with a real hard my foot was just slipping out of the back.
Yeah, back foot. Yeah.
It was incredible that I even lasted that long. Ended up bogey in that hole and I was on the green in two, or no, I was just off the green, but I made a really good chip shot or pitch shot, whatever you want to call it. and I missed a pretty easy par putt. So I was hoping to get one back, but didn't. So end up bogeying one more, the next one. And then I parred out from there. So I was +4 on the front for a 39. Which I was pretty happy about because I wasn't feeling like my best and I was just kind of fighting, I was just I didn't hit a ton of greens. I hit a few on the front, but, I was, getting up there and the putter was rolling very well.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So then this is where it gets interesting.
I should say, so on the front, yeah, it was funny too. I was telling you, like, I didn't even know that you played that well in the front. Like, I was so in my own world of like just trying to grind and potentially a little hungover that I just didn't, like, I didn't really know where anyone was at. I knew you were hitting a bunch of fairways. Like, your driver was so good from two, two on. I mean, even one was fine. Like, you were in a fine spot there. It wasn't the tee shot. But you were just like, you were very, very consistent.
The driver
off the
was
tee,
big,
which was huge.
Huge. Just giving myself looks, which is really nice. And I'll tell you what, like I was I really wanted to make a conscious effort just to keep my head mentally in the game.
Right.
Just focused, more focused, because I think that's the big problem. So after I had bogeyed that sloppy bogey going over the bridge, I went in there, hit another great drive, and then I bogeyed again. I was like, all right, let's just see if I can get a par on this one, and then I'm going to play the three game in, you know, where you
three hole stretches,
you pick a number, and then you try and just hit that number and see where you're at. So going into the old Big Dog Shootout, which is now, it was 16, 17, 18. Now it's 7, 8, 9. My number was par. They're gettable holes. I figured, you know, I could get a birdie on 16 or 18 or sorry, 7 or 9. And if I bogeyed 8, it's not a big deal. Like that's right. my thought process. Ended up parring everything. Parred out. So it was good. Get up to the next three. And my goal was to do it again, even, because number one's a birdie hole. And then you have the par three, which, you know, I felt confident. So we'd make the turn, grab a transfusion, which was delightful. And I end up just striping one. I think I called it to you too. I was like, I'm just going to, or no, I didn't.
No. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I kind of just like skirted one up there. It was a low, just thinny driver that didn't go too far. And I was like, you know what? I'm fine. I'm just going to pipe this 4-iron, which I did. I'm going to two hop stop. I'm going to do the old Seekman when I get up there.
Yeah.
And I'm going to at least two putt, right?
Yeah.
Ended up draining. I two hop stop. Went down it was a nice pin, past the pin. And then I made like probably an 8 or 9 footer for birdie, which was nice. So here I am just.
Yeah, that was a great birdie.
It was a great birdie.
And that's such a, like, that's that, though, it's that two hole stretch is just so massive for just like coming off that front nine, like knowing that 10 and 11 are there. Not that 11's an easy hole, but like it's not a crazy tee shot. You're only hitting like a 200 yard tee shot, and then you're hitting a wedge. So if you do that properly, comfy. It's like they're comfy. Yeah.
Nice handshake openers, as we
right. So when you have a good, I think like that's the thing with this layout. If you have a good nine, like front nine, I think it's easier to score on the back nine. I feel like
yeah, for sure.
It might be a little, do you like the front nine a little more?
I like the back better.
Right.
Just because the back only has a three hole stretch that are really difficult.
Yes, maybe exactly.
Four if you count the par three, but
exactly. Not like the beginning of the front or the start of the going over the bridge.
Exactly.
So you said that like this was you were consciously like trying to think of or trying to like stay in it mentally.
Yeah.
Like, and do you feel like to this point you were like good? Like you were like on it?
At this point I was totally on it. But after this next hole, after the 11th hole is when I really, really started grinding, because
go through 11.
So 11, I hit just a pure ass 5-iron, right next to the directional flag.
Yeah.
I had about 119 in, which is a pretty solid number for my gap wedge. Took a free swing and put it to probably 2 feet. It was just a absolute dart, spun back a little bit and just stopped, tapped in for par or for birdie rather. And at that point,
two in a row.
And in my 3-hole game, I was 2 under.
Right. With the easiest hole, like with 130 par 3, right?
Exactly. So, So I immediately start counting. I'm just like, all right, I'm 2 under.
Yeah.
If I can just play these next holes in, you know, whatever I'm like that short walk in between, you know, that green and the tee box. I'm sitting there thinking, all right, par on these next two. That's easy. And then I'm free to kind of go like 2 over on the next, you know, the harder stretch of that back. And so I hit a good tee shot, a decent tee shot. I was confident I could two putt, but I ended up 3-putting, which sucked.
Norm
showed up and you know, Shaw said something about, he's just like, oh, you can't handle the pictures. And it's like, bro, I don't even see Norm, I'm dealing with a lot more up here than Norm coming in like that. Nothing to do with it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I three putt, just a bad bogey. But finished that stretch minus one nonetheless.
Yeah,
which is good.
Hell yeah.
So then the next par three, I end up three putting again. I hit another decent one that stayed on the right tier, and then I just blasted one. Like I was, cause I was a little tentative on the,
right,
on the last hole. And I was just like, you know what, just get it there. And then, you know, get it past the hole. And then it's pretty flat. So I was confident with like a 5 or 6 footer if I had to, but I had like probably like an 8 footer. Cause I just,
yeah,
I gave it the old heave ho. So three putted that, yeah, bogeyed again. So that was the start of the next three too, which I said, I was going, if I could hang plus two, cause that's a tough little stretch. That par three is pretty hard. And then you have 5 and 6, which are pretty difficult. The par five and then, right, that long par four. So I was like, all right, whatever. Long story short, the next two I bogeyed, I went plus three on that stretch. So I was like, okay, now we got to just keep doing what we're doing. But after that last par three going into there, I really, really was, this is where the mental part came in. And I just kept saying to myself, like, I told you this, but I kept shaking my head.
Right.
I was like, get out of there. And like,
yeah,
I backed off, I backed off a shot one time, and I was just like, man, I was thinking of something bad there. Like I was conscious.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Remember? And that was actually That's on 11.
Right. It was you thinking of the water. Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking of the water. That was actually before. So like, it was just getting worse and worse. And I just had to keep saying, your swing is you're feeling it. Like I started to feel like really confident on iron shots and off the tee was dialed. So I was like, you just have to just keep the ball in play and just worry about your next shot. Just worry about your next shot. And that's all I kept doing. So after the par five, the next three come in, and I knew that the 79 watch was in effect, like full effect.
I
was
you
know, kind of keeping track, but also stopped counting,
trying not to, you're actively counting.
Said you have three holes and the number is it's even, you need to do this, all right?
Yeah,
so you have that one hole. I mean, I always play it for a lefty. It's tough for me to hit a driver on 7 or 16. No, what is it, 16 17?
No, you're right.
No, 16.
Yeah, yeah.
Just over because my ball flight always goes towards that creek.
Right.
So I can't.
It's not a driver.
It's not a driver hole for me. So I hit 4 iron, hit a nice 4 iron, had about 152 in, I believe, and probably hit the best 8 iron I've ever hit. I probably hit it about 170 yards over the green.
Oh my God.
And this was your hole that you weren't.
Yeah. I was say, I wasn't even on the planet. Yeah.
You weren't even on the planet. So I was just like, you know what, let's Seekman, let's trust it. Let's get some spin on this ball, land it on the green and just let it roll out. Did that exactly. And then I had, I don't know, maybe a 10, 12 footer for par, a little bender. And Brett told me, he's just like, go on, make a putt. Go ahead, you know? And cause like him and Shaw were like super,
yeah,
they were dialed into what was going on, and end up making that par, which was huge.
Yeah.
Just drained it right in the center of the cup.
Okay. This makes way more sense why I wasn't so as like in tune. Cause that was when I went double, triple, and mm-hmm. I wasn't even a part of like the group on both those.
No,
so
you weren't.
Now this is all making more sense. Okay.
No, you weren't. Yeah. So we move on to 17, and I'm just, I thinking to myself, I was like, all right, you got two more tee balls, but let's not think too far ahead. You have one shot. So I fucking ripped the driver over the tree.
Oh,
and it was perfect.
That one was
and I think
dangerously
I went,
close it to was that tree.
Dangerously
line
close. And, but the way the thing's going, I knew it was getting through. I went to you, I was just like, whew, one more tee shot left. And you're just like, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even, I was probably going to another hole to try to find my ball.
Same thing. I get up there and had like 150 left. And I was like, you know what? Just hit your 8 iron again. Everything's going to be fine. Hit it a little thin, had a little hook to it, but it had some spin. So it hit the green and kind of just spun like hell and was just off the green. Got up and down for that too. So here I am. I have, I have one hole left, and little did I know that if I parred, I would get a 76. So I didn't know this before. You truly didn't know.
I know you.
I truly did not know.
I think Brett was keeping the score. I don't even think he knew the actual numbers.
No, Brett knew that I was one over.
That you were one over, right? Yeah, right.
Brett knew that I was one over, which is crazy. So I went birdie, birdie, bogey, 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 and then just parred everything else.
Right, right.
Spoiler alert: I parred the. I just hit another great drive. I knew the adrenaline was pumping, so I had about 100 yards left. I hit my 58, which I usually don't. Landed it just short of the pin, a little right. Got up there and two putt it with a sick putter. And I ended up shooting a 76, dude. It was so sick, man. When we added up the numbers, I'm just sitting there. I'm just like, damn, I was plus four and then plus one. That's plus five. I was like, damn, it's par 71. We're doing the math. I'm like, holy shit.
I know, right?
I just shot a 76. So it turns out that everybody up top just kind of blew up, except for one guy. And I'm forgetting his damn name right now. I'll look.
Do you know what the number was?
The number was minus five that won.
So you finished minus four?
I finished minus two. So I was plus five. Oh. And then I shot a net 64 for a seven under. And that was minus two to finish. So I'm gonna look this up. But big news too, the handicap dropped a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah.
What are we at now?
10.7.
God damn. It's got a nice ring to it. I thought for sure you were going to drop more. I thought it was going to be exceptional. I had you like flirting with like single digits. I thought for sure there was no way.
I know.
Because it was the worst part.
The worst part about that whole thing is that Scott puts all the scores in. So we were out there and you're trying to do the math and you're like, well, it's an exceptional. So like you're going to get an extra one out there.
Yeah.
So why don't you explain like what happened though? Because it probably should have gone down, but because
I don't know exactly. I looked up the rule. It's like PCC, people who use like the Gin app. There's this like new, I believe it's new. It's called PCC. And I think here, let me actually look it up because I had it. I've seen it a couple times and we've talked about now a couple of people in our group kind of going crazy low and they've had these, and same with like that guy Gilbert, like his was definitely, so if you
his
shoot
is an exceptional.
Don't take this verbatim, but I believe if you shoot something that is like well out of your ordinary golf scores, I don't know how they do that, you get an extra stroke taken off. So it's like, so when I shot that 75, I got an extra stroke taken off. So I thought for sure, would you shooting 76 there, which is like four, I think is the index or like the handicap. But what it says is,
differential.
Yeah, the differential. Sorry. Yeah. What did it say? Sorry.
It said
this is what it has to do. So it has to do with the rating of scores that day,
right?
Which that's why I don't understand why yours wasn't, but pretty much what
everybody,
it does.
Everybody else was going low that day too.
I don't know though. Those pins were really hard. It was like Sunday at the club championship.
Yeah, but
it was
a little wetter. It's not just here, right?
I believe it's either all the scores at that. Yeah. It's either all the scores at that club or it's all the scores like in that area, because I think what it takes into account too is like weather.
I think it's by region. I know we probably sound kind of stupid right now, but it's a difficult thing. Like the whole handicap thing, we should have a whole podcast just on the handicap system.
Right.
And maybe official world golf rankings, because they're kind of like the same thing. Like,
I know.
Just kind of weird.
Okay, here we go. At the end of the day, the playing conditions calculation, that's what it's called, the PCC. Okay. So it is playing conditions, I guess. So maybe it's not. Automatically to determine if scores made at the course were significantly higher or lower than expected scores of the players who made them. Primarily due to weather or course setup, like it could be anything, any like abnormality. Mm-hmm. So an adjustment. Wow. It can. Oh, wow. I didn't even realize it can go between -1 on the handicap to +3. Will be applied to score differentials based on whoever played that day.
Wow. So
yeah. Okay. So maybe I was a little wrong in thinking it was, I guess it is relative to score, but it is more, I think, playing conditions related.
It is, though, because if you think about it, the weekend before it was kind of like a little rainy and wet, and Gilbert dropped so much.
Right, right. Yes. And that's what we said. I believe the Masters boys, I think Hammy and Dave, when they went low that day, I think they had like a -1 on that one, too. So maybe multiple people are going low on that day. But yeah, whatever. Regardless, 10-7.
Interesting. 10-7, though, dude.
Dude, you're feeling...
I'm cruising. It's not the best thing that I want to happen.
Like, I know,
before
right?
Or the
member guest.
The member guest. But you know what? I'm feeling confident that
I don't think it matters for us either, too, because I think we're pretty comfortably in the two, I'm guessing.
I don't think I don't think we can do anything in the next 2 weeks that are gonna get us into flight one.
No chance, which is good.
And it doesn't matter. I honestly don't think it matters where we are.
I don't think so either.
In flight two, whether I don't think it makes a difference to anybody. Like,
no, I don't think
flight two, you're in flight two. Like, we're all playing like the same, basically.
Right, right.
That's why they have the flights. So
yeah. So what was your biggest takeaway?
My biggest takeaway is that when I am good off the tee, it makes my game way better. And as stupid as that sounds, like, I mean, I just felt so comfortable with that damn driver. It wasn't funny. Like, I was setting up exactly where I was aiming and I was hitting it exactly where I was aiming.
Yeah.
Like, there was a couple that were thin, but like, you have to expect that, but I got away with them. So it was just everything off the tee was just nice. So when I do that and give myself chances, it makes the game a lot easier. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And I was just super happy with the way that I held it together.
I was going to say that
because I was that has to be like the biggest one. Like, that was just.
Yeah. I mean, you closed 5 holes. Like, that's right. I mean, I think like when we talk about it, like, that is, I mean, how many times have you both of us like lost anybody really? Like, how many times do you lose it in the last like 3, 4, 5 holes? And to finish the way you did,
that's the thing. Like,
that's such a win, like, to close that out. And now that you've like done it. Now you like know you've done it, especially like just mentally, like you did it for 18 holes. Yeah.
No. And that's the biggest thing for like amateurs in general. I think like when you're playing, like I always feel like if I'm going to screw up and like mess up holes, I'd rather do it early.
Right.
You know, because then you get it out of the way. But when you're doing it and you're playing, you know, I shot the 39 and then I birdied a couple and then I'm like, okay, when is, you know, I think everybody's question when you're starting to play well like that and you haven't really screwed up yet is like, when is it going to come?
Right.
When, like, I know that darkness is looming. Like,
it's coming.
Like, I know it's coming. So I guess, after I bogeyed those 3 holes, I was just super proud to like,
no, I know.
Rain like, it legit. Back and like just make good shots and still stay focused enough where I was like, okay, I know I'm putting well. I'm my wedges are what, like, everything's going good.
Yeah, you're
nothing's bad. You just have to keep
going. You didn't even lose a ball. Like, you played, it was one ball round. Yeah.
I also didn't double bogey.
That's it too. Yeah. Yes, right, exactly.
No double bogeys and
no
I
double
didn't
bogeys,
lose a ball.
Didn't lose a ball. If you do that, you're gonna break 80 every time.
Golly, it's for sure. Yeah, there's no, I don't think there's any way. Well, I guess if you triple or like quad,
right. Sorry, yeah.
I think everybody knows what we're talking about,
exactly. I think the most important thing now, like listening to you talk about it, for you like closing it out, was the fact that you were doing that 3-hole thing consistently before you had trouble, or not, I shouldn't say, but before you ran into where it was like, you realized where you were and you were in the oh shit moment. Cause that's the oh shit moment. The oh shit moment is when you're like, you just come off 2 birdies and you're like, well, the 79 watch isn't even in play. Like, we're talking like 75 watch. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like, we're talking like,
well, I started counting and I'm like, God damn, a 39.
Right. Right.
The first thing I thought of was like, I've shot even before on 9. Could I shoot under? I was like, if I shoot under.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be flirting.
Flirting
with some uncharted territory.
exactly. But that's huge, though. I think like for you going forward, that seems like that's like a a no-brainer go-to, the three-hole stretch.
Yeah, I think so. I'm gonna
especially
try
for Candlewood too. Like, to your point, it really kind of is like a perfect layout in that sense with the way
it really is now. Because like I feel like I just know the course. Not only do I know the course that well, but like all like the three hole stretches, they're either hard or they're easy.
Exactly.
Like, you know, like you either have two holes and a
score.
And
a you hold on. Score. Exactly. You hold on.
So yeah. Like, you know, the. So what do you have? Yeah, it's just, we could go through the whole thing again, but it's just. It's definitely doable with the three holes. And I think that really, really helped because it was just kind of, and just not looking at the score too, that helped.
Yeah. You had your own little,
pretty much everything I did was just, it was cool. So
yeah. Hell yeah.
See what happens next weekend. What I follow this bad boy up with.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to hear.
Definitely playing on Sunday
and beating it.
Oh God. Imagine that'd be incredible. So yeah, that was the weekend at Candlewood. A lot happened.
Yeah, dude.
I almost wanted to just record Sunday night just because I was so jacked up.
I know. You were buzzing.
Yeah, it was. It's rejuvenated my golf everything.
Right.
I mean, I took notes for this podcast, and I feel like I'm on top of my game right now.
Yeah. Oh, good. Well, glad we're in polar opposite positions.
it's the old milk and cookies for CMG, baby.
But I will. I'll co-host this extremely well right now because we're not forgetting this. We watched an unbelievable shot happen on Sunday.
Oh,
so
I yes.
when you're talking about like breaks and stuff and like getting bounces and. It was funny. I was actually listening to somebody talk about this today, but like you have to go into the mind, like you have to be of the understanding that in golf, like when you have shitty bounces and you hit a tree and it goes out or, you know, whatever, the rub of the green, the, like the shitty, like all that stuff regresses to the mean, right? It's like when shit's not going your way, something's bound to change.
Right.
Cause it just has to, it's a law of averages, right? Like
it's a numbers game.
It's a numbers game. You just can't have shit going wrong for you all the time. And, and our friend Chris Shaw had, let's say he had some trouble with some trees, early on
and some lip outs
and some, oh my God.
He had one of the most aggressive lip out that I think I've ever seen besides my 1-inch putt in the Masters that one year.
Dude, he probably had 8 lip outs.
Probably.
So yeah.
he was putting so well, it just nothing was falling for him,
right?
Except for this one majestic shot,
dude. What hole was that? 7.
So that was on 6? 7. Yeah,
7. No, 7.
Yep.
Yeah. So 7. He hits a tee shot at Candlewood left. It was he was like in the trees, right? It was far. He killed that thing because it was
absolutely
far.
Crushed the drive.
But okay, so he crushed drive. He probably only had like a 130 in, maybe 100 yards in. Cause all I do know this. I know what he hit. I know what club he hit, which makes me now question exactly how far away he was.
Well,
he said he hit a punch 5-iron, right?
Yeah, but he also was completely underneath the trees.
He was
so
straight
that's
blocked.
Why.
Right. Yeah.
So he wanted to keep it as low as possible.
Okay, yes.
Boy,
but
when
he hit it so hard. He hit it so hard, like it hit halfway up the tree.
Yeah, it was incredible.
It really was
really incredible how far it was. Yeah, so he hits that little punchy, you know, I'm sitting there. I could tell you how much he had because I was gonna say
one of you were close to him, right?
I was close to him just a little bit further,
right? Oh yeah, and Brett was way down. That's right.
And
that's
Brett
right.
was yeah so he usually takes a right bounce off the hill and it just,
he cleared it.
It just cleared.
Oh,
it
went left. Yeah. Went I remember left. That. Right. Yeah, right. It was a bad, left. It was actually a bad bounce. It legit was his like 8th yeah. bad bounce in a row.
Exactly. Like literally hits a great drive and probably could have ended up like, if it went where it should have, it probably would have been up by Brett's.
Oh, right.
Because if it followed that green, but this guy, he just, I mean, the whole time he still was smiling the whole time and like having a great time, good attitude. And he hits this shot and I'm sitting there and it bounces, I believe a couple bounces just before the green. And
so it smokes the tree and it changes the trajectory of it down. It hit the tree like pretty good.
Did it hit the tree?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. It's straight up.
No.
It hit the tree and it spit it out and down. So this was crazy. I was standing in front of the green. I literally, this made no sense to me. He smokes, he punches the five iron. It clips the tree. It hits before the green. So it hit, it's moving, hits the tree. Now it gets it on an angle where it was going up. Now it clips the tree to kind of push it down. Mm. It hits before the green. I hope I'm saying this correctly. I know Sean remembers it.
So this is where I saw the green, it. Yeah, skips, I didn't see.
Skips up onto the green and checks
yeah.
on the green about 10, like after two hops, which none of it made sense.
It was incredible.
And it's that big tilted green and the pin was in the top right. And it just starts to slowly roll.
Yeah.
And in my head, all that I'm point, thinking,
I was screaming. I was just like, nice shot, Shaw.
Right.
Nice shot. And then like it kept going and kept and just tracking towards the free. It was like slow
and
motion.
I was directly underneath the pin. Like yeah. I was directly underneath it, probably like 60, 70 yards away because I punched one up.
Yeah.
And in my head, all I'm thinking is that ball's about to disappear. The ball's about to disappear. Yeah. And it's so slow tracking, like slow rolling in.
Yeah.
It just fucking disappears.
It just, I see it disappear. I threw the rest of my beer
he
up.
He starts
just
running.
Started, yeah, he starts start, running back. Yeah. We had like that little high five moment. Like
fucking
it was,
sick.
I was just screaming. We were definitely like that group. Like,
oh, yeah.
But that moment and that shot, like we were buzzing, man.
Oh,
like,
my. That was unbelievable.
It was so unbelievable. And just that is the exact reason why we do this podcast, why we golf so much, like
oh, yeah.
why we go every weekend and we're just grinders for that exact moment. Like
oh, that was
to
crazy.
See how excited you, me and Brett were to see that.
Oh yeah.
Makes it like, that's why we love golf, dude. Like
I couldn't even believe it. Like I legit couldn't believe it.
Yo, you want to know the worst part about it though?
Oh God.
He got more rub of the green. Because there was about 47 people that got skins that day, and he made $10.71 on that eagle.
No way. On an eagle, too? Oh, my God.
I snuck in for a backdoor second and won $80, and that
oh
dude had the
God.
Shot of his life and makes
$10. First time ever holing out makes
yes,
$10.
Yes.
Literally.
Makes $10.
Oh, that is so funny.
I felt so bad. I was like,
wow,
Jesus.
You ain't kidding. He did get hosed.
He just got hosed, yeah, because there was a lot of skins out there. It was funny, but shout out to Chris. That was an amazing
shot.
That
was incredible.
Super. That was probably the best shot that I've ever seen, like in person.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I don't think, yeah. Just like
I've seen a couple
watching
hole
the whole
outs, but...
watching the whole thing, like watching it all happen. It was the most impressive thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was super cool. Super cool. And the fact that it hit the tree now makes it even crazier.
For
I
sure.
100%.
100%. Yeah. God, I wish we had that on tape.
But great job. Yeah, you're on your game as the co-host, because I was just gonna move on. I totally
I know you were basking in 76 glory.
Yeah,
which well is you mentioned the seventh, you mentioned that hole, and then you mentioned like getting like bounces off trees and stuff, and I was like, oh, I can't break his story right now by telling the Shaw story.
Yeah, it worked out.
I was perfect. Like, I gotta remember.
Well, good job, man. We're killing it so far.
All right, so let's close it then. I think that's it.
Yeah, that's it, man.
That's it.
I'm just excited to excited to get back there on Sunday, and we will have updates for sure.
Yeah, right.
Unless I shoot like a 94, which I'll just be like, yeah, I didn't play well. So
yeah.
But anyways, big happenings. We had a WGC. We'll get right into pretty much all the professional golf was on fire. But Abe Anser. Dude.
Wait, let's do this first, because I wanted to jump into, but I wanted you to tell your story. When you were talking about the FedEx Cup, like the playoffs and the WGC and everything like that. I don't know if you saw, but I know you definitely saw this. The new schedule is out.
Oh, yes.
And do you know that they took Boston and New York off all of the playoff stuff now?
Yeah, so there's like only thing in the Northeast is the Travelers and then one in like Philly, right?
Yep. Yeah. So they both.
And maybe the U.S. Open?
Well, yeah. Whichever year. Is it?
I think next year is in
Is it in New York next year?
I think so.
Is it bad that we definitely know this, but.
Yeah, it's definitely. There's a lot going on in golf.
But yeah, dude, they took away. They took away TPC Boston, which was on an every other year anyway. But I wanted to say there was another one. But yeah, so what happened was Memphis got it because that is where FedEx cut where FedEx's HQ is, which makes a ton of sense. Yeah, but
they need another Texas tournament.
And they
only have 12 so far.
And they Memphis.
Oh, Tennessee, sorry.
Yeah. Oh God. No, not the geography.
I was just gonna blast Texas because there is like 7 events there. At least six.
Oh, no, no, I know. Yeah, no, yeah. It's not. Listen, Texas is not short of.
And if you look on the map, I'd put money that there's a Memphis, Texas.
That. Yeah. Oh, that's hilarious. Oh, my God.
It's a small town just outside of the.
Yes. EFW. And by the way, you are right. It's at the Country Club in up in near Boston.
Oh, the US Open.
The US Open. Yeah. So you are right. So it is coming up here. So maybe nice. I guess that's a, but yeah, but still like, I don't know. That kind of sucks that they took that off. I saw there were like a little bit of a, not buzz, but there were a lot of people kind of pissed that New England got a little bit short staffed here.
Yeah, they did.
But.
And just for everyone following along, there is a Memphis, Texas. So.
No, there's not.
Yeah, there is. Anyways,
the man can't miss this week.
I just can't.
So Abe answer.
That's all you wanted to talk about with the schedule? Because there's
was a lot more, but
yeah, they're doing like a combined.
Yeah, they're doing some with the Euro
and Euro tour, like for the Irish or the Scottish or something like that.
Right,
and then the what is it, the Punta Cana, like some of the alternates are like on, like,
yes, that's
one of
right.
them is one of them is on Bay Hill because they're taking 2 WGCs away.
We'll do a little topic on that alone, kind of this next year's schedule, because I do think there's a lot in there. I was just quickly going back. I made it a point to
we'll get into Abe answer now, and we'll talk about that next week or something. I'll write that down and
right.
Get it.
Yeah, so Abe answer wins the tournament that it seemed like no one wanted to win.
That, and can you believe that this is his first win? That was
is kind of crazy.
That's the craziest thing that I just couldn't wrap my head around. Like they said, because I was thinking about the whole thing, and I was like, oh, Sam Burns, I think he won. I was like, Abe answer,
that group.
I think he won. Like Hideki, he's probably, I thought he was just going to take won. It. Yeah, I think
I know,
he's
right?
won. I think he's a major champion. But yeah, dude, he was just the playoff was. It got good and then it immediately got bad. I don't know if you saw it, but
I didn't see it. I ended up having to leave. But the just leading into the playoff was some of the most disgusting golf. I watched like 4 holes. Not disgusting, but. I mean, it was painful to watch Harris English. That was disgusting.
And Bryson.
Bryson, like that group itself. And then none of those dudes, like none of them wanted to kill. Then you had the Cam Smith went for it.
He didn't.
Which
do
was
it.
Electric. I love that move so much. But yeah. So the only thing I had with Abe, honest Abe, 14th bogey free round this season, most of any player on the PGA Tour.
Interesting.
It's a pretty cool stat.
Very interesting.
And then Friday, the field averaged, I heard this, I was watching a little bit at work Thursday and Friday. And I heard this stat Friday, the field averaged 68.2, which is so ridiculous. The field averaged a 68.
That's crazy.
On Friday, the lowest scoring average ever in a single round, all time at a WGC event.
Wow.
When I turned it on, it was actually kind of fitting that I found that stat later, because when I turned it on, the announcer said, this is like playing golf in a dome. There's no like no wind, no nothing. Like I was
no
like
way.
Oh, imagine playing golf in a dome.
That's crazy.
Sounded dope. But yeah,
I'm sure Dubai or like Saudi Arabia will do something like that soon,
right? So yeah, Abe answered, dude.
But Abe answered, did you know too that wasn't his caddy?
Like
his
longtime
caddy. So
I did not know that.
Caddy got in some kind of snafu travel wise or like visa wise and had to go back to Canada or something.
Right. Right.
So who
was that guy?
Who
was the caddy? Yeah.
His name's like Dale something. And he also happens to be the hot dog taste review guy. If you want to follow somebody good on Instagram,
whoa.
It's called the Dale Trail.
Come on.
I swear to God.
Did you know about this before you found out that he was?
So here's the thing. It just so happened that I had just followed the Dale Trail. I kept seeing these hot dog reviews on Instagram. I don't know why it kept popping up. I had just literally just fallen into this, and his reviews, he does dogs and darts. He reviews cigarettes and hot dogs.
Oh my God. I just literally, oh my God.
They are the most electric reviews. He
Yo,
has
this
put
dude
out videos. He is amazing. Literally was at the Olympics with Abe. And just something happened. I don't know exactly what happened, but he wasn't there. Great follow on Instagram. It's
bro
Dale Trail.
I'm on it right now. The merch.
Yo, the merch.
The pork missile hat.
He's the dog father.
The pork missile?
Creator of the pork missile.
One snap,
everybody knows the rules. That's what he says.
Oh like, my
he's
God.
He's got a decent following too. It's incredible. So he wasn't there, and the fucker ends up winning his first PGA Tour event. I felt so bad for him.
You're right. Cause I wasn't even thinking about it in that sense too. Imagine that. Like they've been working together.
Well, cause like I watched a whole thing on the Olympics and stuff. And like, he was like, when they're in the bubble and stuff, he couldn't like smoke cigarettes and stuff. Like,
so He was
like trying to like, there was one video where like Abe saw him like sneaking one and he like poured water on him and something like that. And like, he's like, you didn't get it. You know, like,
oh my God.
Other one, like he was sneaking one in and like all the athletes are like walking by and he goes, yep, there's another swimmer or there's this. And he's just ripping a dart. Like,
oh my God. That's so fucking funny.
So funny. But yeah, I was looking out. I saw Abe Answer was in the mix and I was looking for him. And then I saw it. I was like, what the hell's going on? He's not there. So I looked into it and stuff. And yeah.
Oh my God.
I couldn't believe it. But yeah, shout out to him going out there and just had to be a pretty it had to be like his brother or something. I don't know who it was, but he felt comfortable with him. And now there's now a caddy to be, I think, for Abe Answer.
Oh my God. That's so crazy.
So crazy. So yeah, one of the other big stories was Bryson Harris's collapse. I thought it was it was his tournament to win. He was at, like,
dude, he was at 21 under at one point.
Yes. And Bryson was also at 18 under after Harris had freaking collapsed. So like both of them had chances to freaking go out, and Harris shoots a freaking three over and just an absolute terrible round. His back nine, he went 33-40.
They both on a back nine of a 35, they both broke 40. Or no, sorry, they both shot over 40. They both,
yeah, I think
40
it was
and
combined, 40.
Bryson shot 41.
I saw a combined 81.
Yeah, combined 81 on the back nine.
Which is just incredible. I mean, there's just, you look at their scorecard and there's a lot of squares.
Yeah, so the kind of theme there was the front nine. I think early they got put on the clock. Yes. And apparently it really like messed up Harris English, and he was playing like super fast, and you could tell that he was like super uncomfortable. Mm. But man, did he like, again, you know, playing fast and getting put on a clock and whatnot, but that showed that I'm not even just him, but that whole group at 16 under, not really, it's tough to close a golf tournament.
It's tough to win, man.
It's tough to freaking win.
So the biggest thing I got out of that whole thing, is that afterwards Harris English, you know, he said something about being on the clock, but he also said something about everybody bullying Bryson.
Oh, right. Yeah. So that was a big, yeah, I did. I heard a couple people comment on it.
I listened to it and he literally said, he's just like, man, it's really tough out there. Like,
right.
You know that it's bothering him, and you know that, you know, people they're just ruthless, you know. And did Bryson bring it on himself? I would say yes, he did.
Where's the line?
Am I telling people to stop?
Yeah.
It's not my place, but like,
yeah.
I mean, has it run its course? Probably.
Right.
You know, not even Brooks isn't even saying anything anymore. Like, so, you know your role kind of thing. Like, have a little bit of respect, I guess. You can say something other than Brooksy. You know,
well, that's the thing.
Tell him to go get vaccinated or something.
It's not even good, like one lining, like,
no,
jabs.
It's not
like it's just
and
like
he actually had a response, like some old lady called him Brooksy and he just like laughed and was like, haha, Good one.
While he was over the ball and he stepped off it and was like, yeah, good one. And then, yeah,
exactly.
But yeah. To your point, I think it's like, I mean, yeah, could Harris English potentially be giving any excuse possible to not admit to completely collapsing on a Sunday? Yes, but it can't be comfortable like playing with that dude.
No,
there's and when it affects other people like that,
it's kind of like playing with Tiger. Like some people said that there's like a 2 or 3 stroke disadvantage when you're playing with Tiger.
Right, right.
Because you don't have that. And could that be with Bryson too? Because like, you got to feel the tension. It's probably like playing with Patrick Reed after he dug that sand shot before the President's Cup and like stuff like that. So I don't know, man.
On top of that, he had another 4 instance where he,
So
I actually saw that one live on the PGA Tour app. I think it was
Nice. Shout out to PGA Tour. No free ads, right? But no,
we're pumping hot dog, man. We're pumping everybody.
I know.
It was so bad, dude. Like it smoked that guy. Like he, and he never, it, I don't know. I don't like where
he's digging himself his own grave.
Oh
man.
No. He dude,
because the whole COVID been, comment too,
he's like, been 6 feet under. He's struck out. You could tell it. That's what I think is like at this point, it's like, you know, he's in too deep. Like, and it's clear.
But he just
right
doesn't
now.
Know when to shut up.
No.
Like
that's
with
what
the
I'm
whole,
saying.
With the he's, whole COVID thing, like, dude, okay. Say that you just don't want to get vaccinated. You
right.
already had
exactly.
it. Like, that's your right.
That's
like,
where
you
he,
don't have, I'm not saying that you should go get vaccinated, do all this stuff. But that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, shut up. You don't need to then say I'm giving it to somebody who needs it because there's no shortage of vaccines.
Yeah.
Like there's
that's,
not,
that's
just
the
stupid.
Thing. He's so out
you're
of
just
touch.
A dummy. Like that's, and like you said, he's out of touch. He doesn't know how to like, he just doesn't know how to be a human.
He doesn't know.
He's an alien. That's why I'm convinced that he's some sort of alien.
No, he is clearly going through steroid withdrawals. The like, dude, I mean, dude,
that's a bold accusation.
Think about the mood swings. Think about this.
Yeah.
Oh, let me read you something.
They don't call it roid rage.
Let me read you something. Also fitting that this happens within the Olympic testing.
Okay.
Let me read you a little something.
Wild that he got COVID before. I forgot that you said this
on Saturday.
This take,
yeah. Who I don't. Yeah, he might not even have had COVID, dude. He probably was just like, I don't want to go because
he probably just took a test and he
Saturday 63 today. He shot his lowest score in 2021. He gained 3.68 strokes with his approach play, which was the best he'd ever performed that season. Next day, shoots 41 on the back nine on Sunday coming in. Like he is the biggest of mood swings. You know, he'll go from Saturday having a, you know, doing talking to the press after or whatever, like, you know, talking to people and just being like, you know, fun go lucky. Oh, all the jabs are fun. Like keep playing at me. And then Sunday it's the woe is me. Cause I, you know, he was all over the place, but
right.
I don't know. It sucks now that you're right though. It's to the point where it's like,
it's just not funny anymore.
It's not fun. Yeah. This isn't, like,
it's not fun to even talk about him. Like,
no,
it's, like in this light, like it's not
exactly like this is the easiest time to come on and just shit on him, which we are probably rightly doing.
Yeah.
Maybe not even to the extent that some people would be happy with. Like, I think some people want to bury him. Like, I mean,
here's my view on
it. He's not helping himself.
No, he's not helping himself. But here we are going into a Ryder Cup and we need him to do well. We need him to not cause a fuss. Like between everybody, we need to be in.
That's true.
In
we harmony. Do need to win this.
So like, if anybody listening is going to damn things, thinking about calling him Brooksy, just be like, maybe we should switch. Maybe we, cause Patrick Reed, who knows, might not make the Ryder Cup. Maybe we can just give him the Captain America thing to just boost him up a little bit, pump his tires.
Yeah. That's what he needs. Somebody to put a little more air in his fucking airhead head.
but no, on all seriousness though, we do need him. Because there's no getting rid of him on this.
No.
He's not going to be a captain's choice. He's earned his way. And I don't think anything's going to change from here to September.
No, for sure.
Unless he keeps doing what he did on Sunday.
Yeah.
But yeah, I that's just crazy to me. So that's all I got in the WGC. We could just roll through a couple little things here.
You're forgetting the biggest takeaway from the tournament.
Jesus, I'm so glad you're here today.
Yeah, I know. I'm really on it. Wait till you hear me drop some knowledge. No, I think this. I thought this was the coolest part of the tournament. Not watching those dudes fall over each other to catch a win. Dude, Cam Smith had 18 putts on Saturday.
Oh my God, yes.
He ties the PGA Tour record, 18 putts. Yeah. I think anybody out there that looks at that and like immediately first thinks of like, you know, how many putts were off the green or how many chip-ins or whatever, and like to take away from 18 putts has never played golf. Yeah,
exactly. It doesn't matter.
Think about literally having 18 putts.
I think he honestly had like three or four hole outs.
I think
par,
he had two
for par.
I think he had two chip-ins and then two or three putts that were hole outs from
which is sick,
dude. That's incredible.
He was just dialed with the putter.
You know what the coolest part was? I was finishing. I saw it on Twitter. I think it was on 15 or 16. He makes a putt right off, like to your point, he holes out right off the green to essentially have zero putts, right?
Yeah.
And then he had three holes left to do it. He had three holes, three strokes left.
Oh my God.
And it was so fun watching him in approach shot, dude. He hit two approach shots and both of them landed on the green and ended up on the fringe. And it was like, you know how like sometimes when you're trying to like work your putting stats hey, I'm off the green. This is only going to count as this was a one putter or two putt.
He did get it close.
He did that for like the last two. And it was incredible because you almost knew he was like safe. Oh, he definitely knew.
Yeah.
Yeah, he definitely did. I think he definitely knew.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I bet you he knew he was close, maybe not 18, like maybe not like 18 for 18, because there were the hole outs and everything, but he had to have known.
Yeah.
But he that's so crazy though. I think the most putts he had in a round was like 25 or 26. But here is what's crazy about strokes gained. Is Cam Smith had 18 putts that day and he was not even the leader in strokes gained putting that day, which does truly show you like the value of those statistics, because
I'm still working on Mark Brody. For the people that don't know what strokes gained is, we're going to try and get the guy that it's not going to happen, but I'm trying real hard just to figure. And if not, we'll just tell you what strokes gained is.
Yeah. Right.
We'll explain it.
Which won't sound good, but
yeah, but it'll be something, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's crazy that stat, like, so I think Frankie said this before, that just the putting stats are just really, it's not real. Like when you say we had 32 putts, like that could be good or bad. Like,
right.
You know, it's all about,
it's all fair. Gain. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let's move on. Nelly Korda won, in the Olympics. So both ladies and gentlemen won gold for the USA, which was sick. She is just a dominating force right now in the LPGA. Will she ever lose?
I know, right?
Like, no, that's the question I have. Like, it was just nuts. I know we were watching the end of it.
I was so much more interested in the women's like Olympic golf in that match than the men's.
Why do you think that? Because I was kind of like, I watched more.
I think
of the
one
than I did.
One, it was the timing of it. Like, it was that late night. Like, it was kind of perfect. Just like,
yeah,
it's just the exposure to them. And then, honestly, it was like, I don't even know. I think it was the, I forget how do you say her name? Aditi Ashok was the girl that I was. Ashok, did I say that right? Do you know that one?
I'm gonna go with you on this one because I have no idea.
Do you know who I'm talking about though?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she was the reason that I like kind of got into it at first.
She's like the first Indian.
Yes. She's I did not know that. Do you know how old she is?
Young, right?
She's 23. I thought she was even younger than that though. She looked way younger than that.
She looked like she was like 12. Honestly.
I know. It was crazy.
Which isn't crazy in women's golf. They really are 12 sometimes.
Right.
Yeah.
But she kind of got me into it. And then I was just, I couldn't stop watching Korda. Like, she.
Yeah. And good to see Lydia Ko too. Like,
yeah,
she's
right.
Just, she might be back too.
I know.
She's, you know, after seeing all those people like Spieth and all that stuff. Like, just crazy. But Nelly Korda, man, she is just.
It's cool. It was cool.
Playing some good golf.
Yeah. It was cool to see her. Cause that's kind of the thing. And I do remember hearing the storyline for a while as I was like, learning more about her as kind of she grew up in the game, but she, you know, her thing was that she kind of struggled to close on Sundays, and definitely you can tell that she wasn't comfortable, and she was she probably didn't try the three holes at a time strategy, so maybe she's working on that or something.
Probably reach, yeah, I'll reach out to her, tell her my tactics.
She wins a major and two other tournaments this year, at least one other, and now gold medal, and all of a sudden it looks like, to your point, is she gonna lose? Like
they have the British Open coming up. They have a pretty high end tournament this week, I believe. And I don't think she's gonna lose.
Like, and it was.
She could plow. She could definitely win the women's.
She's
British,
got the skill. Oh yeah.
Which I'm saying women's British because that's exactly what it's called, by the way, just for anybody wondering.
You're talking specifically to Norm.
Yes, Norm. I heard this and it is called the women's British.
Yes.
I don't know.
Coolest.
I don't know if she's ever gonna lose.
Coolest Korda statistic that I saw was actually her whoop.
I saw that.
Did you see this today?
Yeah.
Her highest heart rate was when she received the gold medal, I think it was.
Which is pretty cool.
Which I mean, is wild.
There was no fans either.
No, I know, right?
Yeah.
So there were a couple there, I think. Golf
was different because there
it was a little
more,
better.
Yeah. There was more people, you know.
Right.
Just good for her, good for America. Just to get both of them. I mean, we've just put our mark in the Olympics forever, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Thank God.
Thank God we did it.
So that Aditi, I don't even know. Ashar, do you go with the last name?
Nobody. Yeah.
Let's keep the A silent. Shook. So the Indian girl, Shook, finished with. So her big thing was like putting. Like this girl was literally making everything she looked at.
Nice.
Dude, she finished the Olympics with a strokes gained putting of 13.02. There's only been one player in the PGA in the PGA Tour this season to even go over that mark of 13 like plus strokes gained putting. You would literally you don't even know who this is. This isn't a real person. Bryce Garnett at the Travelers.
Isn't he a lefty?
Dude, no way.
It's possible.
Could be. I mean, it's also possible he lives in Memphis, Texas. Oh my God, he lives in Missouri. No, he no, not a lefty. Sadly,
that was a good one. you got.
But yeah, dude, she was like the best putter by like 10 strokes almost in that tournament or something like that. Like
that's ridiculous.
And when I watching it Sunday night, like, dude, she made so many putts. Like it was so crazy.
It was cool to watch.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Shaw actually texted me and he's like, tell me you're watching this. And I was just about to go to bed and I was like, damn it. So I had to go watch it.
Oh yeah. Cause then you texted me and you're like, are you watching this? I was like, yes, I am. They went, they had a weather delay, so she actually had to come off the course and then close it.
That's crazy.
And yeah, Lydia Ko was on her heels too.
But
now that was a fun tournament.
Super cool. What else we got?
I couldn't tell you a single thing about that.
The only thing I know, Erik van Rooyen won. He wears joggers, which I'm not happy about that. The PGA Tour allows that to happen still. they might as well just let the guys wear shorts because the joggers just look way dumber than shorts. And that's all I have to say about that.
Oh my God.
It's cool though that they do a Stableford in that. What are your views on that? Like, do you think there should be more of these kind of tournaments?
Yeah. And especially if you're going to do it when it's a cross event, you know,
that's what I'm thinking. Like, cause I know, you know, Bay Hill and like all these big, like higher tournaments, they want the four, you know, they want it normal.
Right.
And all these sponsors and everybody are paying all this friggin' money.
Right. They're
not going to want to throw a Stableford event. That's for, you know, for their home course, you know, their member guests and stuff like that. So it is cool to see though. Cause like, I think, our boy, Joel Damon.
Yeah. He was leader after day one.
Yeah. Joel Damon was just firing off. So it's just cool to see. Like, I mean, you get points for the birdies and eagles. If you don't know what Stableford is, they just keep track of all that. You get points for those. So bogeys are bad. And it's just like golf. It's just a different way to score it.
Right.
They do it for like a lot of the celebrity events and stuff like that too. So yeah, it was cool to see. I watched watched zero of it actually. I just saw that Joel Damon and a couple of the guys were up there. So good to see it's still a PGA Tour victory. And that's that.
Yeah, the only thing I was actually following that for was, did you catch it all, the Mark Baldwin story? He Monday qualified. So I was following that. So I know I've talked before about it. The Monday Q Twitter account. Who was that? He changes it now.
Yeah.
Monday Q Info is now it is. He's beefing right now, actually pretty big with the PGA Tour, because they're flagging like anything that he puts with their, you know, whatever watermark on it or whatever the content that they own, even though he's really like trying to grow the game and promote the game. But you know, that's what a big biz does, is they kill the little guy.
Of course.
He's beefing with them. But yeah, he was on the bag for Mark Baldwin, who was a 37-year-old lifer, Corn Ferry. Look the if you guys are interested, so look the story up.
You know who knows this is Jordan from F3Putt.
Who knows what?
He knows that caddy, and I think he's met Mark before.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I was
really cool story.
Yeah, super cool story.
So I was kind of like I wanted to follow along. Like that was the only reason that I was.
He did well too. He made the cut.
Yeah, he made the cut, dude. That's all. Yeah, he made the cut.
And finished well, I think. I saw, because I started following him and stuff too, and I saw, I think he may have birdied or hit a long par putt or something on the 18th. And
yeah,
it's cool.
It's cool.
It's a good story. I think he's, what is he? He said 37.
He's 37. Yeah.
Yeah. Just had a baby too.
Yeah. He was talking, there was a crazy interview. He was talking literally like a month before this with his wife of like, hey, are we going to do this again? Because we need to figure, if I'm going to go away and play, like we need to get some money together because we can't afford doing this again.
Right.
It's like just a wild, you know, it's such a reality for a lot of these guys, but to do it for at that age for that long and then to finally break through is like, whoa.
So sick, man.
Pretty cool story.
Happy for him. Yeah. We have a big week though coming up. You want to talk about like the FedEx Cup championship, or they're coming up. We have this one last tournament, final chance for
where are
people.
We this week?
What is it called? The Wyndham Championship.
Oh, it's Wyndham, right. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, the Wyndham Championship.
Greensboro. That's right.
Greensboro. I could say any state and I'll be right. I guarantee it.
You know where Greensboro is?
Yeah, I believe it's in North Carolina.
Damn it.
and nailed it. But we got some top guys that might not make the 125.
Right.
And I say top guys, but I'm talking about like Ricky Fowler and like, yeah. but no, crazy. There's a couple names like Ricky, Chesson Hadley, who like had that two tournament stint where he almost won two in a row. Tommy Fleetwood, Charles Howell, III, Justin Rose, Francesco.
Fleetwood?
Yeah.
Wow. All those guys.
Fleetwood's at 136.
I was struggling. Wow.
Anari. Our silver medalist from Slovakia, Rory Sabatini, is 141. Yes. Ryan Moore, he's usually a guy that gets up there. I hate to say it, but Danny Willett, he's usually a guy that's in there.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of guys in there that, you know, this is their last chance to get into that top 125. It's going to be for the guys in the bubble. It's a struggle, because then, you know, if you sneak in at 125, then you got to sneak into the top 70, and then like you got to play well.
Then the top 30.
Exactly. It's like it's
quite the climb.
Grind.
Yeah.
It's a complete grind if you want to play the next four.
Unless you're in some kind of Billy Horschel shape.
Yeah. So who do you think out of those guys has the best shot?
Oh, man. I mean, God, I can't believe
we're even having
this. Fleetwood's down to 136. I know. Yeah.
And Charles Howell, he is the most consistent player.
Honestly, you're not going to like this. I'm going to say Ricky.
I was going to say Ricky too, because he's been
low-key
playing
kind of balling. Yeah,
he has. But also, I mean, long hair don't care. Tommy Fleetwood is Tommy Fleetwood. Like,
I know.
It's crazy to me. Like Justin Rose, you haven't really heard a lot about, but you're surprised because like, you know, I mean, these guys, you know, you don't hear about them, but they're still finishing like top 40. They're still making money right. in these tournaments that they're playing. And I don't know. It's just crazy.
Man, it's,
it'll be interesting. I love the Wyndham though, because like you get to see, like they give you like every time the player moves, like they have like the board and they're just like, well, if this guy does this and then this guy moves down to fifth and this guy, you know?
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see, that whole thing. Craziest thing to me is that Will Zalatoris won't be, if he doesn't win this, he has to win the tournament
in order to gain eligibility.
Yeah. And he, I think right now, like he would be like 13th or something on the FedEx Cup list.
Definitely in the top.
Literally, 15. I think he's played something like 29 events this year, something like that. And he has like 8 top 10s and 14 top 25s.
Jesus.
That's ridiculous. He's that's made crazy. Over $3 million, like, which is ridiculous. And he's got to wait until next season. Like he's got, so I saw an interview with him too. And he's like, you know, and he went to Wake Forest. Is that right? Is that North Carolina? Demon
Wake,
Deacons?
Wake is in North Carolina. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So him and Webb.
No,
Simpson
Will too. Definitely went to Wake Forest.
Oh yeah. He definitely did. I just wanted to make sure.
Right.
That I'm geologically in the same state.
No, you're right.
It's so yeah, they were saying you know, if you know, he's confident here, he went to school right down the road, he played I believe some amateur tournaments in there, so he feels good.
He needs a dub
and they asked him what he's gonna do if he doesn't, and I think he's shooting over to Europe to try and go, because I think he has enough points over there to chase the Dubai Cup.
Right.
So he might do that.
Good for him.
But also, if you've already forgot, like me, he withdrew from the Open Championship with a back issue. Remember?
Oh yeah.
So he's been fighting that.
Oh yeah.
The last tournament he played.
Oh yes, that actually, I think I might owe him an apology.
Will? Big Will?
Yeah, I did. Sheesh. Yeah, because he had that disgusting yip putt. Remember that yip putt?
Yeah, and he actually just broke his back.
Yeah, we found out it was like, dude, he was literally having like stingers, like the quick, like
Tiger.
Like muscle, like almost like cramps, like spasms. In his lower back. Spasms. That's the word. You could tell we're getting into the late hours.
Exactly.
Yeah, he had spasms, so I have to take that one back. I think I told Frankie too. It was a guaranteed yip. Which
take it back?
It isn't. You know, you don't know what you don't know.
Yep. Only other thing crazy is Patrick Reed withdrew from this tournament. He sits at 19th in the FedEx Cup, so he didn't need to. They didn't say why, but I think we can all assume that just from travel and
load management,
he just needs to take it easy.
Dude, I'm looking at inside, like who's in. I was looking at who's inside the top 30.
Yeah.
The fact that Charlie Hoffman and Kevin Na are sitting at 29 and 30 low key blows my mind.
Yeah. My early season player of the year is sitting there right at 28 too.
Hey,
if he wins the FedEx Cup,
he might
be player of the year. If he wins the next three tournaments,
he pulls a Horschel.
It's a solid, solid top 30 though. If you think about it.
Yeah, no, it is. It definitely is. This has been.
You got the young killers like Sam Burns and Victor Hovland.
It's been a bounce back year for sure.
Yeah, different guys though, like that aren't fighting for the position. They're already there, like Jason Kokrak, who's won twice.
Yeah, dude, Homa sitting at freaking 25, 26.
Corey
Connors.
Just different territory for these guys because usually they're fighting to get into that. So.
Oh my God, Stuart Sink at 17. Thank you, Scott Fawcett.
Jesus. Yeah, that goes out to Decade. I wonder how many Decade guys are in the top 30.
That'd I know, be a right? Good stat. That actually would be a good stat. Yeah.
The historian will have that for us next week. I know that. So.
Yeah. Fat chance.
Well, I don't have anything else, man. What you got anything else on this tournament or?
I got nothing. Right.
Well, let's get into the final words. You got anything for that?
Final words. I do not. I'm excited for you to get out Sunday.
I know. I'm super excited for that too.
Is there any format? Are you doing any? You're playing Candlewood?
I have no idea what the format is, but I know no matter what it is, I'm playing my own ball.
I know, right?
I don't care. I don't care. And if they are going to say you don't play your own ball or I'm not putting the score in, I'm driving somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Driving somewhere else and I'm playing somewhere else.
It's a must.
I have 0.7 to go.
And I will
reach the goal for the season.
That's it. I love it.
Yeah. My final words too, though, we did forget to say who the winner was of the Net Championship, and that was Keith Carney. So shout out to Keith. And also,
wait,
and
what? Keith won. That was the one that you came in T2.
Yes.
Oh wow. Okay. Oh, yeah. I didn't know it was him. Okay. Yep. Nice. So Keith, yeah, shout out. Yeah.
Very, very good for him. And then another big shout out, the killer of the year.
Yeah.
Mike Natale. He just slayed Harry. I always mess up Harry's last name, but if you know,
if you know Candlewood, you know Harry.
It's like Zdarsky, I believe is his last name. Harry Zdarsky.
Zalatoris.
Yeah. Yeah. Harry Zalatoris.
Harry Zalatoris.
He's won literally the last like probably 10 or 12 years. If you look at the plaque, it's just Harry Gross Championship. And in the semifinals, the biggest upset of the year, Mike Natale.
Yeah.
His ass. Beat him.
Took down the.
So when it was him and Ryan Pote, and Pote tried his hardest, just could not kick him off the ledge. Like he was just, I don't even think he was ever in the lead.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
And it wasn't Mike like, just, it wasn't for lack of effort. Like Mike was going crazy.
Mike was just, he chipped in for birdie from a bunker and was just draining putts, and just shout out to him for, I mean, just doing his thing. I'd have to look up what he shot, but just shout out to him. And then the final word, just thank you, Coach Pete. Thank you, Cousin Pete.
Cause
all that you do for us, because you got me to a very good place right now.
You got him hooked for at least another year.
At least another year. Yeah. You're stuck with us for at least another year. So go to MPI, get some gift cards. Christmas Facts. Is coming, baby. So with that, I think we'll leave him on the 19th, man.
Bang.